So this is a sermon about the cost of human prejudice and the mystery of reverence. Jesus went to Tyre. This is north of Israel. This is Gentile country. Indeed, Tyre and Israel had been long-term enemies. You see right at the beginning that Jesus does not want anyone to know why he was there. Some commentators assume he was tired. Too many clashes with the Jewish elite, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and others. Too many clashes with the Jewish elite who constantly followed him around attempting to humiliate and discredit him. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus seeks solitude for time with his Heavenly Father, for solace from the opponents, and to receive the love and guidance from God that he would get in prayer. In his quiet time, was repetitively interrupted. The text says that Jesus could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately, and she heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, and she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. In Mark's gospel, there had been two prior exorcisms of two Gentile women. In this case, the encounter would be the first with the Gentile. So how does Jesus respond to this woman? He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Now this is euphemistic. The children are the Jewish people of Israel. So Jesus is seemingly declaring the inferiority of this woman, of her nation, and even her child. The dogs, throwing some to the dogs. The dogs were not pets and friends like they are for us now. Dogs were feral, always hungry, and would come in a house at any time and drag as much food out of there as they could. These were not respected people or dogs. To be frank, this is a very prejudiced dismissal of this woman. It seems that Jesus' mind and heart was caught up in the historic past, ancient prejudice, hatred between the Jewish people and Gentiles. And I do think that is the way to understand this text at this point. But notice that Jesus did not shut the conversation down or walk away after he made that statement to her. In fact, there's really no way for us to know how long it took for the woman to respond the way she did. She answered him, "Sir, even the dogs get to eat." She took his challenge and accomplished the unexpected. I think she expanded Jesus' mind, touched his heart. This woman was so inspired by the love for her daughter, inspired also, was courageous because after that initial rebuke from Jesus, she would have more likely rose up from her bowed position at his feet and left the room humiliated and shamed. But her love for her daughter, her self-respect, and her resilience was just too powerful. And Jesus says to her, in effect, "Yes. For saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter." Jesus, who we tend to imagine was born with absolute spiritual knowledge and power, it seems like he learned something that day. He learned that in the kingdom of God that he was preaching, that he would cross boundaries that others would not. That he would heal and teach and love the other people who have always meant to be reviled. That in his ministry there is no east or west or south or north. From my viewpoint, Jesus was caught up in this woman's fear and pain. And in her stunning response to him, this dismissive statement he made, that in spite of that, something deeper than compassion came forth. I think there was a kind of spiritual intimacy that emerged. I wish Mark had written it with some pauses, as if they thought about it, as if it was a little expanded, that pauses that could have signaled that the God and Father of Jesus Christ was present, and that the God of Israel was indeed blessing this healing. That Jesus and the woman shared a profound reverence for God, reverence for one another, reverence for a Jew by a Gentile, reverence for a Gentile by a Jew. We think of the word reverence, and it's to honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. It presupposes an intrinsic goodness in the other person. The person who is honoring also receives that gift of reverence. I've tried to find words that could help me better address this beautiful reverence in this story, the one for the other. It does make me think of a short story I read one time recently, and I'm going to read it to you, and it's brief. It's by Brian Doyle in one of his books, and it goes like this, as a sign for us to remember his reverence. Our dad never spoke about his childhood at all when we were kids. We would ask him and he would chat about this and that and the other thing. We were easy to distract, and Dad was gentle and funny, and to hear him on any subject was a pleasure. Many years went by, and then the sons decided to haul him back into native Pittsburgh to do some genealogy work for the family. But when we drove up a snowy hill and found the house he had lived in as a child, he burst into tears. We had never seen Dad cry before, none of us. We sat quietly. My brothers and our father are big, tall guys. And there was a sort of a long, big, tall quiet in the van. Very large men being silent is a sound. Good thing no one spoke. Any words right then would have been a sort of insult. We could talk afterward about how our father opened the gates and told us everything. All the pain and loss, all the ways he created his gentle, quiet, wry manhood, all the wit and dignity and love and patience and guts, all the ways his life was a song of grace and gratitude. But for now, let's just sit here in the back of the old van. Give the man time with his tears. He waited something like 70 years to cry those tears. You have to give those tears some space and some respect. In a moment, he'll say, gentle as always, "That's my house. That's my house." But now, let's just sit and revere him from the back seat. As for us, for now let us just sit and revere the Lord. Jesus Christ, the human face and beating heart of God, sits among us. And let us revere that amazing woman, the mother, her wit and dignity and love and patience and guts, and revere her daughter who is restored to health, and to revere Jesus, who is indeed her Savior. This is all worthy of our reverence and gratitude. And it could be suggested that this reverent encounter with Jesus accelerated the possibility that we Gentiles from all over the world would find our way to God through Jesus. That we can happily sing that song about this radical, radically inclusive love of God. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. And so it comes to us to spread this wonderful news of the life of Jesus and the life that God gives us. Hold it reverently because it is so important. So spread, O spread, thy mighty word. And friends, I do thank you that this is good news for us all. Amen.